Steve and Jill here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how you should offer a solution to your seller.
You kind of are.
This is one of those.
Sending an offer, hopefully it's a solution. I have stuff to say about this. I know you do too.
I wrote this topic for Jill, quite honestly.
Thank you.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. The question's long, and I love the question, and I want Jill to answer it, so I'm going to read it.
Okay. I just want to ask about this topic that you wrote. So that was that code for, I'm tired. I'm going to queue up some topics for Jill.
No.
And just, okay.
I'm not tired.
Okay.
This came up because, I don't know, it came up on the call last week.
Yep.
I somehow have not recently conveyed in all the many venues that we are here. If I sound frustrated about this, I am. By the way, tomorrow's topic is called offer solution for your buyer.
Right.
We're here to offer solutions. We're not here. Take him to the cleaners.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Somehow, this whole business model is built on buying property incredibly inexpensively, and solving a problem for the person you're buying it from.
Right.
They're no longer considering price at all.
Right.
You're just taking it off their hands. They don't have to pay it for the taxes. If it's a house, you're just buying it so they can get rid of it.
Yep.
Solving the problem. And then, here's the overview. And then for the buyer, hopefully it's a wholesaler who's going to resell it or do something to it to improve it, like rehab it. You're solving that problem for them so they don't have to go out and find their own acquisitions or deal with a real estate agent.
Can I add something to this? This is like a hot topic for me, and I know we're going way off topic.
It's a hot topic for me.
Because here's my thing, too. Think about this. The way that we're offering a solution is a very professional, kind, polite way by sending a formal thing in the letter. We are not skip tracing somebody's cell phone and calling them, or heaven forbid, getting in our car and going on there, knocking on their door and saying, do you want to sell? That, to me, that really bothers me. I just got to say. So if you...
Wow, we got to this topic fast.
We did.
Let's go. Let's keep going.
Okay. We did. Because I was just thinking about how we do it. We really are offering a solution. Because here's the thing. We send a very polite, real, professional letter saying, hey, we're interested in your property. Here's what we're willing to pay. You have two choices. One, throw it away. B, call me back. That's easy. I'm not standing in your doorway or on the other end of the phone like other people do, and they think that's the way to do this, trying to talk you into something. That makes me mad.
Well, there's a whole undertone. There's a whole culture of people out there who believe that the only way to make money is to have an angle.
Yeah.
And to come in at it some way and really kind of put the screws to somebody and make sure that they're kind of you pull the wool over their eyes a little bit.
Yeah, look what I got.
That's not what Land Academy is about.
No.
That's not who we are about. It's never been about that. But,
not us.
Sometimes there's members who are vocal about that. But my point is this, and this is right on topic. What happens every single day with Jill and I and with all of our successful members is these properties come in. They come in and you're staring at a property that is, with a signed purchase agreement for a property that's worth half.
Right.
Maybe it's a property that's worth $100,000, and you're about to buy it for $30,000 or $40,000. What do you do?
Right.
Of course you buy it, and then you get to thinking, and this happens to every single person, including me. Well, it's worth $100,000. I'm going to ask $100,000.
Right.
And that is where you fail.
That's,
trust me.
That's more tomorrow's show, isn't it, for the solution for the buyer?
Yep.
I love it. It's a perfect overview.
Chris Dwyer asks, I'm new to Land Academy and thinking about joining the program. Before I do, I'd like to ask the community a few questions to see if it's a good fit for myself and for my wife. Our reasons for doing this revolve around earning additional income to accelerate our path to financial independence, and ultimately creating a lifestyle that allows us to enjoy more time with our kids and our family. I can tell by the way this is written, you're already gonna be successful.
Yeah.
We both work full-time jobs. We have two preteen kids. We can carve out about 5 to 10 hours a week for land investing. We have good income, save a chunk of that, and we have access to capital as a result. Okay. Our goal is to replace our current income with land investing, which will allow us to quit our jobs and work on our schedule, our own schedule. Mm-hmm. Is 5 to 10 hours enough time to make this program work on the outset? I think he means in the beginning. Mm-hmm. What are the main reasons people flourish or fail? Why would you choose Land Academy over other land investing programs, the ones that are out there? And if we wanted to invest in our home state of Pennsylvania, are there any statutory reasons that would prevent us from either flipping land or selling on terms? Thanks in advance for your time. I think this is what you and your team answer this question 50 times a day.
I know. Will you go back? I kind of want to hit the questions one by one.
Okay.
So we don't miss any, because that was really, really, really good.
I'll ask you, okay.
So first of all, Chris, I think it is, thank you for taking the time to really put this out there and ask all the questions that are obviously on your mind, and I get it. And I think you're coming at it for the right reasons. You're not coming at it like crazy, like, I want a Ferrari or something silly.
Exactly.
You know, I like, hey, I just want to, I want some breathing space for my wife and I. We want to, you know, eventually be able to take some nice vacations, maybe replace a job or something. Maybe my wife can stop working or whatever it is, or just to, you know, and well, you should say quit our jobs and work on our own schedule. That's a great plan. So just like anything, so beginning is 5 to 10 hours enough to make this work at the beginning. Just like anything, when you start something new, there is going to be some time up front. There is going to be a learning curve, and I'm glad that you're planning that. If you both sat down and carved out, let's say, 10 hours a week in the beginning, you could spend 2 weekends, and I like this too, by the way. There's a lot of people in our world that are like this. If you said, this is what we're doing on Sundays, and set the kids up with, you know, dinners and everything and games, you could one Sunday get through most of the program, and another Sunday get through the second part of the program, and then by the third Sunday kind of have your head wrapped around it and be thinking about picking accounting moving forward. So I do think you could do this at the beginning. Hopefully what often, especially when just, and I'll get into a little bit more, hopefully it inspires you. Like a lot of our members, they start off like, you know, with a schedule like this, and then they get excited. They see what's possible, and they carve out more time, and it gets them there a little bit faster. So I think that's good. The other thing to think about, let's say you spend, 10 hours one weekend getting, you know, educated, another 10 hours educated. Now the next weekend you're working on picking a county. The next weekend you're thinking about getting mail out. You know, you need to kind of plan that out. And then by then you're gonna have to set up something for the phones. That for you, I think, is gonna be the hardest thing, because you guys both work full-time jobs. So as you're doing this, set up Pat Live, but it can all still happen. So during the week, once you have your first offers going out and they're coming back, Pat Life can be answering the calls, so you could kind of stick to your schedules and follow up those when it works for you. Do you want to add to that? You want me to keep going?
Well, let me paraphrase what Jill's saying. Five to 10 hours is easily enough.
Yeah.
We have very successful members who even still do it.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I don't spend 5 to 10 hours a week buying and selling real estate. I really don't. I spend it on other stuff, and we still buy tons of it.
Yeah.
So, heck yeah.
Okay, so going on, I'm taking too long of these questions, so thank you. I'll try to shorten them. What are the main reasons people flourish or fail? You know, I think it's really comes down, you know, and I know this, because I've asked them, we've surveyed our members, and we see it happen all the time. You either stick to it, and you're committed, or you're not. It's never about money. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
Sound like a man.
But it's never about money. It's never about time. Honestly, it's never about, you know, all these other things that you think it is. It just comes down to you not sticking to it. Why are you laughing?
She just got back from New Orleans with a bunch of women.
Yeah.
And she came back, right, and the first thing she said to me was, oh my gosh, women are difficult.
Now I know why you love me so much.
This is what she said. Takes them a long time to get ready.
Takes them a long time to order lunch.
It's difficult for them to decide what they want to eat while a waiter's standing there with a pen in their hand.
Exactly.
Like six things like that. I'm like, you know what? I should have recorded this whole thing.
It was so
stuff
funny.
I've been saying for 50 years.
Have you ever heard me walk up to a bar and say this? What's the most buttery white wine you have? I'm like, and here's how I do it. Vodka water. Fruit if you have it. Done. That's it.
Here's another impression of certain women ordering lunch. I'm feeling like something red and maybe with a side salad. You know, I'll go. Other people order first. I need to look at the menu. Yeah. That's one of a million quotes I have stored up for some unhealthy mental reason.
I do have to say the person that I traveled with was actually phenomenal. I was saying of all my friends, this was the easiest, best person, lowest maintenance. I mean, seriously.
Awesome.
I mean, really.
Good save. Does she listen to this show?
I don't know. So anyway, but true. No, I mean that. Seriously, she's an awesome travel. We traveled.
Jill's going to answer this question in a second. Okay. What are the main reasons people flourish or fail?
I did answer.
And I will say this. It's that question tucked into all these other technical questions about can I do it or not? Mm-hmm. That is the question you have to really, really ask yourself.
Yep.
And so if you're already successful, which you are, both of you, I can tell, are already successful at what you've set out to do, then you're going to be successful at this. Yep. If you make it a priority and that's it.
And they're on the same page, it sounds like. Chris wouldn't be asking this question. You know.
We have many, many, many husband and wife teams, or spousal teams, let's just say, or you know, life partner teams or just business partnership teams that flourish in this environment. Jill and I are a perfect example.
Yep. Why would we choose Land Academy over the other land investing programs that are out there?
I'm deliberately going slow on this question.
Okay. I love this.
So do I.
Well, here's the thing. Why would you choose this? It has to sing to you. There are so many other business models out there, so many other things that you could do. There's ways to do what we do, and you have to pick the one that sings to you. And we are data people. This is the place to be if you're not afraid of Excel, you're not afraid of data. I have to say it, you're pretty smart. You maybe have run your own business or have an idea to do that, and you know what it takes to do that stuff, then you're in the right place. We are all about using data and creating systems and making this a business and not making it hard, kind of thing. Letting the data and the other things do the work for you.
I mean, Jill just answered the next question. Why would you choose Land Academy over other land investing programs that are out there? There's only a couple other programs that are out there that I know of. One of them, you know, the big difference is this, without going into any detail. If you want to make this a business, not a hobby, Land Academy is for you.
Right.
If you want to buy some extra property because you think it's fun and funny, you know, the other two programs that are out there, you should check those out.
Yeah.
They're packed full of hobbyists.
What I love, too, is I'll be honest. I have a lot of people that have come in our group that came from other
from them
programs. And they got to the point where, like, this was great. I got my feet wet. And it kind of gave me a little dance along the top idea of how this works and one way to do it. But, gosh, now I'm ready to grow my business. I need to take it to the next level. And I still have some questions, and there are no answers there. Yeah. So then they came to us. They're like, oh, okay, now I get it. And then the tools and the things that we do provide, the access to the data, the cheap mail. I mean, the stuff to really make it a business is what we do.
Of all the other land programs out there, we're the only ones who have devised this system of using data and sending blind offers in a very, very brainy type way.
And giving access to the stuff you know, can't get.
The other ones That's all focus on back tax property.
That would be a game changer for me right there. I'm not kidding, Stephen. If I were a fly on the wall and I was just getting into this, knowing that you could get access to data tree or not, which is coming, but RealQuest Pro and Title Pro 24/7 and things like Parcel Fact and to help me in Deed Perfect, I'd be like, that's a game changer. Yeah. That's already taking so much work off my plate.
Yeah.
Wow. And I access the stuff that I didn't have, I could, and some of them I can't get.
I mean, I don't want this whole episode to sound like a sales pitch, but none of this happened on accident.
Right.
You know, it's very simple. Jill and I have been buying and selling real estate since the 90s, separately and now together.
Yeah.
And all the tools that we've been using, we just put them in the form of a website.
Yep. Perfect. All right, this is a question for you, so I'm going to read this. If we wanted to invest in our home state of Pennsylvania, are there any statutory reasons that would prevent us from either flipping land or selling on terms?
There's statutory reasons in every single state, and they're state-specific about why you can and cannot sell property on terms.
Right.
And they're getting worse. So, and they're only getting worse because people are abusing them.
Right.
So, bad people. We're all good people. There's a few bad people. Check it out. Pennsylvania, I lived in Pennsylvania for several years, and I know Pennsylvania as a state, a regulatory state, is not the best on the list.
In fact, terms.
Just for anything.
So, yeah.
It's very legislated. It's got rooted in history like that. So, the further west you go, the generally more compliant real estate gets until you hit California. And California, as liberal as it is one of the most pro-real estate places I've ever been. All the things I can bitch about in California.
There's a lot.
Real estate's not one of them.
Exactly.
They're very pro-development in real estate.
That's true.
That's probably why the traffic's the way it is.
Yeah, it's true. That was awesome.
You can do this anywhere.
Yeah, I think we got
this. That's the answer.
Yeah, and just do your homework. And those states that have, here's how we look at it. If there's a state that I come along and there's some extra steps I got to jump through, if I really want to sell things on terms, then I only flip for cash there. I don't sell them on terms.
That's
I do terms in other states that are easy for me. Problem solved.
Well said.
Thank you.
Works everywhere. You just have to do your research and get in there and figure it all out.
Exactly.
Today's topic, offer a solution for your seller. This is the meat of the show. Jill's going to talk in double time here.
Oh, am I? Oh, because I have to hurry up.
It's okay.
It's already going really long.
This is so important. We're going to go over on time. It's okay.
So offer solutions for your sellers. Well, number one, you are solving something for them already by them calling you back. They may or may not state it, but they're staring at your offer and calling you back or emailing you or writing you, whatever it is, because you're solving something. If even I'm done with this property, I don't want it anymore. I want to get out from under it. It may not be obvious. They may or may not state it. Some will say, thank goodness, I need the cash. I've got this going on. You know, I'm so happy. And some are just going to be like, you know what? I got your offer. Let's talk. I like it. Yeah, and can you do it on Tuesday kind of thing?
Yeah.
So, and you don't need to dig and find out. Sometimes it's personal for people. They may not want to share it. But just know that you... there's a reason they're contacting you, and that's why we do it the way we do. Do you want to add to that?
The very nature of sending out, let's say 10 offers, just never send out 10 offers, by the way. Always send out 1,500 at bare minimum.
Exactly.
Let's say you walk into a bar, and there's 10 women sitting on 10 bar stools.
No. Why did you use this example? I can't wait to see.
And you approach that, every single woman, regardless of how they look or are behaving, with the exact same approach. Hi, buy you a drink. Next bar stool. Hi, buy you a drink. You can imagine the responses you're going to get. You're going to get everything from drop dead stranger weirdo to, heck yes, I'd love for you to buy me a drink. You hit me at the right time. Let's talk. That's what this is. That's all this is. You're solving a problem for the girl at the end. And all the rest of them, of them are going to be annoyed, or some version of annoyed, or slightly interested, but they're not feeling comfortable talking to them yet. You maybe want to just change your approach a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are the negotiating people. So in those 10 situations, somebody will say, heck yes, I would love for you to buy me a drink.
Well, you know what? You might have solved a problem for me because I just was thirsty. How about that?
That's it.
I was thirsty. I didn't want to pay for a
drink. It could be as simple as that.
All right. Don't say it for the poor one poor person stuck at the end.
Nobody's like, poor in this. Well, there's no poor person. There's no victim.
You said the one at the end. Why is there
all right.
At
she's
the
one in the middle.
All right.
She's the one that actually you caught at the right moment,
and
she's happy that day. She had a good day at work or whatever. So it's just the same thing. So it's the same thing. If you're solving a problem for this, or you're solving a problem to the person you just caught them at the right time and they're ready to sell their property for whatever reason.
Oh, okay.
So we spend people who are not in this group. People who are not in this in our group reach out to us all the time, way more than people who are in our group. And ask questions like this, like, you know, so I'm trying to answer that question. You know, the more women you ask at that question at the bar, the more are going to give you the answer that you want. So send out a ton of mail is my point. Just send out, if you're not getting the response that you want, then send more mail out.
Oh my goodness.
Is it really?
It always comes back
to
that.
It's so obvious.
Yeah, it is obvious.
This is so obvious to me. It's not obvious to a lot of people.
What did you do while I was out of town, babe? That's what I'm wondering. I've been in New Orleans. What did you do while I was away?
I worked. I got more work done than I've ever get done.
Okay, cool.
That's the truth of it.
All right, so here's another thing about offering solutions to sellers. I have three things to say. I said that was the first one. Number two, make it easy. You know, part of offering a solution for the sellers, not only offering to buy their land, but you're offering to make the deed and mail it to them and get a cashier's check. And so they don't even have to leave the couch, honestly. Somebody that's has to it. Open the door and let the notary in, but that's about it. So make it easy, explain it all. And that's my third thing, actually. The third thing is really follow through and hold their hand. Help is needed. Answer questions. It all ties together. So
they need to see it as you're solving the problem. Right. You're not going to sell them.
No.
They're not going to call you and say, you know, is that the best you? And then you is that the best you have? That you're it's already gone. But right. In my opinion, Jill might try a little harder to change their mind. But in my opinion, it's just the not point anymore. Wasn't taken. No. So if somebody gets an offer. They should, when they open their letter and they look at it and they say, for $10,000, they should say to their spouse, these guys out in California want to buy this property that we've owned for 20 years for 10 grand, and they're going to pay us on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there any reason we wouldn't do this? And the husband should say, oh my gosh, they're solving our problem.
Right.
We need 10 grand anyway, or
exactly.
We're not going to use that property anyway. I've been thinking about this for a year.
Yep.
Or, you know, I thought son Johnny was going to use it, but he's not.
Yep.
So you solved it by them opening it.
Yep.
You're not going to sit there and
talk them into it. It's ridiculous.
That's right.
You're not going to. Don't even think
that's
you
right.
are. And if you're at that point, don't hang up and open the next letter.
That's what I think,
that's
Jill.
That's it. Or answer the phone. That's it. There's so many people. All you got to do is send out more offers. And that's a whole other thing I know. But that's it.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the episode called Offer a Solution for Your Buyer Now.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Wow,
okay.
you and I were saving it up. We had a lot to say.
Yes. I just hit me the whole way we do it, and people are still arguing like, don't you want to skip trace and call them? Why would I skip trace and call somebody? That would really make them mad. And by the way, how many people? I don't if it's not a if it's a number I don't recognize, I don't answer. How costly is that? That's a lot.
Just the whole phrase skip tracing.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
And I don't think
you know what skip tracing is. If you don't know,
it's finding legal,
somebody's
right?
It's finding somebody's cell phone number, calling them,
paying money to get it.
That's associated with the real estate. Yeah, it's like a database. You sign into a database and cold calling.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Hey, I noticed you haven't paid your 2017 taxes on that property in Nevada. Do you want to sell it?
Right.
I'll give you $500. How invasive is that?
Exactly.
Why would you ever do that?
I agree. Thank you.
I'd rather sell penny stocks.
Wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please rate us there.
We are
Steve and Jill.
Angry Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.